Hello everyone, it's 10:35 a.m. on Wednesday the 19th of August 2015 and I'm sitting in the patient lounge waiting for transport to come home. My appointment was 10:30 but they saw me early because I got here early, believe it or not. And we'll see how long I have to wait to go home. We had a bit of a fiasco with the transport this morning. An ambulance turned up to pick me up, the transport ambulance. It's the man that lives the one road down from me that I know. And so he said we've got to pick up one other person in Orpington. So we got to the house. He couldn't find it at first, but he got out and got it. And then he came back. It was a very strange situation. He said it was the strangest pickup he'd ever had. There was an elderly man who sat in the front. He was the patient and his wife was in a wheelchair and she was the escort. But she said she needed to be in the wheelchair in the ambulance because she couldn't get up the step. Some patients, they managed to get in and sit in a seat and they fold the wheelchair up, but she wanted to be in hers. But the problem was, there's two seats behind the driver. There's two single seats, one behind the driver, one behind the passenger seat. And in between those is like a square with some kind of contraption on the floor. I'm not sure that's where the wheelchair should go, and that the contraption is something that bolts it into place so that it doesn't move around, I think. Now, that's usually where Niall sits, because there is no room in front of me, between me and the back of the driver, or between the empty passenger seat and the back of the passenger seat. So he said, can the dog sit in front of you? And I said, no, there's absolutely no way he can fit there. I'm not having him on top of my feet and not being able to move, plus this contraption next to me as well. It's down on the floor, but it means you can't move your feet to the side, and the door's the other side. And then I said, well, I can try and get him to go the other side. And when I felt the gap between the seat behind the passenger seat and that it was even worse. And I said, I tried to get him in there, but there's no way he was going to go in there. He started getting panicky. He wouldn't. I said, well, you take him. I said, come round to the door, the other side from where I was sitting. I said, and I gave him his lead and I said, now get him to come over. But he got really stubborn. He's part retriever. And there wasn't room. He tried to get him to go up on the seat. I said, well, he's not going to sit up. He won't go up on the seat, but he couldn't sit up on the seat. Even if I would allow it, and he would do it, because it was a small single seat. And, you know, he hasn't got a car harness, and he would just fall off the side. So in the end, he said, I'm sorry. He said to the passengers, it was a woman, the man's wife, he said, I'm really sorry, I'm going to have to get another vehicle for you. Now, she was already complaining. Her friend came along while we were trying to sort Niall out. Her friend passed, was talking to her at the back of the ambulance, because she got in the back door. She was already complaining that her husband's going to be up the hospital all day and she hates it and she didn't feel like going and all this. And she was pretty ungracious about the whole thing. She didn't really have a go, but I don't blame her. And I felt awful. And I kept feeling like I needed to apologise and say, I'm really sorry, I'm sorry. And then I thought, well, no, I'm not going to apologise. Because at the end of the day, I'm not being funny, but she's not the patient, she's the escort. I am the patient and he is my escort. And, you know, I can understand she wouldn't want to travel without a wheelchair. So she should understand that I wouldn't want to travel without my dog. So I was sorry, but I wasn't going to say so, to apologise, because it wasn't my fault. I did not book the transport. It's the way they do it. They're not very competent. I doubt they've got half a brain between them in this office here, the booking people, to be honest, because every time there seems to be something. Now we'll see what happens on the way home. But anyway, despite that little hoo-ha, we got here. I went to the cardiac unit because I've had a monitor fitted, because at the end of June, I think I put it on here that I went to A&E because I had a really high pulse and palpitations. And I've had them a bit since, but I've never had the heart racing since, but I've had the palpitations. And I think it's something I've had on and off for years. But They decided, and I thought it would be a sensible thing to be, have it investigated, especially with the transplant, because if there is a problem, then it needs to be sorted out or discovered at least. So I came to the department. They saw me straight away. Oh, I had a terrible... excuse me, I had a terrible scare. When I got here, I thought I'd better go to the toilet. I needed a wee, so I went in the toilet. It was quite big in there. I don't know if it was a disabled one, but I locked the door. It was like one of those bolts. It's not a bolt. It's like a lock that you flick sideways. And then when I'd finished, I flicked it back, and I thought you just pushed the door. Because some of them, the ones in the renal unit, you just push the door when it's unlocked, or pull it. So I was pulling it and pushing it, nothing has happened. So I pressed the lock again, it was still nothing happening. I pressed it again, thinking, I didn't know whether it was locked or unlocked. It was just shut fast. And at that point, my blood pressure must have gone sky high, and I panicked, and I actually kicked the door really hard, but no one came. And in the end, then I found the handle, and I was like, oh yeah, you pushed the handle down. And I think you, and I still can't remember whether you pushed it or pulled it now, but you put the handle down, which I wasn't doing. But I came out, and I was so panicky, because I hate the thought of being, there's no windows in there, you know, and it was hot, and I thought, what shall I do? It's just in a corridor where people don't walk past very often. And I didn't want to start screaming and shouting, and I was shaking a bit when I came out, but I was all right. And I thought, it never rains but it pours. And so then I got seen, and the woman was nice. She just explained what I've got is I've got three pads that are a bit like an ECG, if anyone's ever had one. They're slightly bigger, and they've got like a press stud on them. And I've got one on my right-hand side of my chest and one each side underneath, you know, my ribs. And then I've got a little, like a small box. It's probably the size of a phone and a little bit thicker. Size of an iPhone. She recorded into it a voice message with my name, my doctor's name, and my hospital number. And it's got like a little clip, you know, like a bicycle clip. Just clipped it onto the front of my clothes. It's got two rubber buttons on the front, and it's got wires on, the three wires attached to the pads. And then if I get the symptoms, I have to press a button, so it records that. I have to keep it on till, I can't have a shower or anything. I had one this morning anyway, and washed my hair. Can't have a shower till I take it off, which is in the morning. When I get up in the morning, I can take it off. And I was supposed to bring it back tomorrow, and I had to sign to say that I would bring it back, but I said, well, I'll have to get transport. It's a waste to get transport just to come up here for that. But so she said, oh, we'll get a courier to pick it up if you like. And I said, oh yeah, that would be really helpful. So that's one less trip up here. I was going to combine bringing it back with another appointment, but I didn't know what the procedure was, so I've got that for the next Friday the 28th instead. Apart from that, the coffee smells nice, but I've got no cash on me, and you have to spend £5 to use your card, which I don't really want to have to do. When I get home, I've got Tesco's order coming, so there's plenty of nice things to eat. Someone's talking about Niall at the moment. Anyway, I just thought I'd bring you up to date with what's going on. I haven't done the post for a couple of days. We went in there, and the woman said, oh, your dog's lovely. Is it a he or a she? And I go, he. Oh, isn't she lovely? Yes, he. Oh, yes. Anyway, I'm going to pause this for now, and I'll let you know what happens about getting home. Hello, it's now 12:05 PM and I'm home. That was record time, really, because I think I waited 5 minutes after I paused this, and I was called. We had to take a man who is in a wheelchair, but they apparently the hospital won't take people's escorts anymore. They're cutting back on all that, so his wife had to get the train. But they lived in Sevenoaks, so they brought me home first. So it was all very smooth. It was just an ordinary car. So that went well. I've still got my thing on. I haven't had to press the button yet. It was uncomfortable coming home because where it was clipped on on the top of my top, the seatbelt was pressing it against me. So I just I took it off the clip and it's just hanging down at the moment, which is fine. It doesn't make any difference as long as it's, it doesn't have to be attached to my clothes, as long as the it's attached to the patches and they're attached to the machine. That's all that matters, really. It's a lovely sunny day. Obi's getting ready for work. He's on lates for the rest of this week. Starting at 2, finishing at 11. Ronan's out, but he should be back shortly. And, yeah, my shopping's coming between 1 and 2. I did not have any sleep last night. I was awake the whole night. Luckily, I found some new books to listen to. Thank you for people's suggestions, by the way. I wanted some historic fiction, a bit like the Outlander series. It's fiction, but it's based on facts, some facts, historic events, I should say, not facts. So I found, it's catching up with me now. I found this website. It's got all different genres. It's got, they're sagas, like you've got family sagas and you've got Africa, Asia, prehistoric, ancient world or something like that. That's Egypt and everything. It is a combo box that you change. It's not very reliable. It's very hard. I found it very hard to get it to change. You can open the list box with JAWS and it works. It's just getting it to go onto the right thing. Sometimes it'll say it's on family sagas, but when you're looking down the page, it's still on what it was on before. So the first series I wanted to try and buy from Audible was, this wasn't an Audible site, but I thought I'd get some ideas. Was because it tells you a little bit about them. The books was one called The First Americans, and it was about the Native Americans, and there were 11 books in that, but it didn't return any searches in Audible. So the next one I got is a series of 4 books. They're not that long. They're like, the longest ones are like 15 hours each. They're nothing like Outlander, but they are. I'm more than halfway through one already because it was 11 hours long and I've got about 5 hours left. And they're called something like The Ivory Carvers or something. I think that's the name of the series. And then there's one, I think one's called Mother Earth and Father Sky, or something like that, the one I'm reading. I can't even remember. The next one's called Sister Moon, and there's 2 more which I can't remember. And they're, again, they're about American, Native Americans, they're on islands, and I'm not sure where these islands are because they don't really give them names. But they are set in 7055 BC. That's when they start. So they're quite an ancient time. And they're very interesting so far. And they're by someone called Sue Harrison, who I've never heard of. But I'm pleased with it so far, and it's filled the space that Outlander really left a big gap, because these people who write these sagas, like J.K. Rowling, for instance, they build up such a world and they get you ensnared in it. And when you finish the books, you miss it. I suppose that's a sign of a good book. Anyway, I did find there's lots of little novellas she's written. There's other series which contain stories about Outlander characters. There's the Lord John series. Lord John Grey is one of the characters. He is quite a... in the beginning, he's not a main character, but towards the middle to the end of the books, he becomes quite a main character. And these are stories of his different adventures. in other places. I haven't read any of them. I bought one of those, and then I bought two other ones. One called, what was the one? I've read one of them. That was only 4 hours long. Oh, what was that? That was the night before when I couldn't sleep. It's called The Space Between. And there's something about a leaf on the breeze of All Hallows or something. And they, again, about characters that aren't main characters in the book, but they, you know, it's their little story kind of thing. So, you know, if I want a bit of Outlander while I'm waiting for book 9 to come out, which might not be for another 3 or 4 years, then I can always dip into these. But at the moment, I'm quite happy with the new book. Yeah, it's easy to get into, and I sat up listening to it all night, doing dialysis on and off, and then at 6 o'clock I thought I had a shower and washed my hair and got ready to go. And I got picked up on time and everything went okay, and I don't know when I get the results. They will be processed and I will hear probably in a few weeks. I'm trying not to think about it at the moment. Hoping it's nothing serious. It probably isn't. They said that. It probably isn't. But it's best to be safe. It's better to be safe than sorry. Anyway, I will upload this now. And I will speak to you all soon.